This still feels like hockey weather.
Actually, it's not that bad out right now.
Not a fan. I refuse to put my winter coat back on, but when I leave the house in my jean jacket in the morning, it's not good. It's just...
Your jean jacket? What are you, from the... Are we in the 80s?
Yeah, I'm bringing it back. I am bringing it back.
Good luck with that one, dude.
Next thing I'm bringing back, fanny packs. That's right. They're so convenient.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. We did 100 episodes, and then we thought we'd scare you guys and then take a week off and think that we're gone forever. But no, we are back. Joining me as always, as he always has throughout 100 episodes, now at 101. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your conference that you missed the show for last week?
It was good. I didn't miss the show because we didn't have one.
I'm gonna take all the blame on that because my whole plan was, hey, I'm gonna do a solo show again. I'll keep everybody up to date. But that day, I didn't get home until about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I was tired. And I'm like, you know what?
Screw that noise.
Yeah, I'm not gonna record, and I'm not gonna do that.
You.
I'm tired. So here we are. We're 2 weeks later. We're back talking about the Caps. And I kind of feel like it was okay missing last week because a lot hasn't really changed. A lot of the problems that the Caps had before are still there. And it's, again, kind of, topsy-turvy. You don't know what team you're going to get playing because, as we've seen, up against a team like the Bruins that are very much on the heels of the Capitals came out, played great, looked great against the Boston Bruins. But then they go up against a team like Buffalo, and they barely get away with 2 points. And Buffalo is not doing as good as Alex Ovechkin as a person this season. So even though we've missed 2 weeks, the problems are still there, Coach. Let's talk about it. Ovechkin's the only guy really lighting up the scoreboard. That's something that they brought Glenn Cross in for when they traded for him, and I feel as if they were hoping he would help him. He definitely has. He's a great talent. But where's everybody else? Why can't anyone else get on the score sheet?
I like how we've been talking about secondary scoring for a couple of weeks now, and now like the Caps are catching on, and the Washington Post are catching on their sites and talking about how the secondary scoring is being a problem. Like, did it really take you guys this long? And Glenn Cross has done a pretty decent job in keeping up. Ovechkin's, of course, doing his thing, and Backstrom's setting him up, so you can't really blame him necessarily. You know, the first line's contributing for the most part, but you know, the second line, we haven't seen a lot of goals. I can't remember who it was from, but I was reading that, you know, Leick has one goal in the last like 30 something games. Fair, I think, hasn't scored. Let it go. Fair and I want to say Ward haven't scored in like 11 games. Brouwer hasn't scored in a double-digit amount of games, I believe. I think it was the Buffalo game where it was the big win over Buffalo was like 6-1, where it was six different players scored. Was it the Buffalo game that happened?
Yeah.
So six different players scored a goal, and since then, the offense has dried up. Now, hopefully this is just they're going through a little bit of a down, a valley right now. They're going through a little bit of a tough time in terms of offense, but it's sort of tough to say that considering the fact that they've been having this problem for most of the season in terms of secondary scoring. Every once in a while, someone else will decide to chip in a goal, but it's nothing. No one's doing it consistently. No one is able to bring the game entirely offensively consistently. And this is a problem. And I know that was one of the concerns that a lot of people had when they brought in Trotz, because they were like, well, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. Is he really going to be able to get any offense out of this team? But I don't think that's the problem. I think it's the players themselves are the problem right now. They're not doing what they need to be doing because, you know, I don't know if it's enough the guys are crashing the net. The shots are not good enough or the players are not good enough. It's sort of tough to say right now. But the team was fairly secure in their playoff position, but without that secondary scoring and leaving it just to Ovechkin to do a lot of the work, their security in terms of a playoff spot has been drying up rather quickly, and now they're only 4 points out of getting knocked out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's something.
We're out of the playoff spot right now.
Yeah, that's something scary. You know, I got really ticked off 2 weeks ago when Carl Alsner said, "Oh, well, this wasn't a must-win game. We're okay." Dude, you're going for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yes, you're in a wild card spot. You're kind of sitting pretty, but you should be going to work every single day thinking this is a must-win game so we can secure our spot and that we can get into the playoffs. It's not good to be, you know, that low on the totem pole and kind of just sneaking in. It sucks. I mean, you at this point, especially with being in the right now, we're at single digits until the end of the season. That's how many games are left. Every game should be must win, and it should have been must win the entire season. They need to get out of that mentality of, oh, well, we can just take this one off. It's okay. We didn't have to win that one. Yes, you do. That's why you get a lot of money to play hockey, to win games. You can't just go, oh, that wasn't a must win. Yes, it is. 100%. I know I'm not a hockey player. I don't know what you're going through, but come on. Must win games here. Everybody should be doing 110%. Everybody should be trying their best to get every single game into the win column to get 2 points. Like you said, all those players right there, why aren't they getting on the score sheet? Is it not the right line pairing? Is it not work production, really? I mean, we saw Kuznetsov at the beginning of this year, at least in, let's say, the beginning of the season, not really fare very well. We were kind of saying, well, he's still getting used to the NHL style of play. January looks like he's really going to open himself up. He's going to do great. And then he's kind of cooled off. Marcus Johansson, we looked at him for a couple weeks going, man, this guy is really putting the shots on net. He's not passing anymore, you know, things that he would normally pass at. And he was being on the score sheet. And you don't really hear Marcus Johansson's name
very
much.
Yeah, he's dried out pretty much lately. It's been an interesting situation the way this team has sort of had that a lot of these players in the way they've been playing has dried up so quickly, and it's a little bit, it's definitely a concern. And it goes back to the trading deadline and whether they should have made a little bit more, or maybe given up a little bit more to be able to go out and acquire someone that could bring in secondary scoring. And I think that's something you definitely have to look at in the offseason. And with the way the cap hit for this team is right now, it's sort of a tough situation in terms of you definitely have to move out somebody that you may not want to. You know, you have to go out and try and re-sign Green. You got to re-sign Holtby, and you're going to be able to have enough money left, depending on what the cap ceiling ends up being, to be able to go out and sign someone or trade for someone that is a quality, if not better than that, secondary scoring. As well as you have a problem on the right wing of the first line. So it's McClellan has a lot of work ahead of him in terms of his ability to build this roster to where it needs to be, and so. I mean, they got a problem right now in terms of secondary scoring, and it's, you know, everyone's sort of noticing it. Not noticing, but to go back to what you're talking about in terms of the must win, it is now, because when you get, I mean, there's no point with getting that magic number just yet, because they're 3 points ahead of Ottawa for the last wild card spot, and they're 4 points ahead of Boston, who's currently out of the playoffs. They're 11 points behind the Rangers. So they're not catching them. I highly doubt they're going to catch them to win the Metropolitan, which would have been nice. They're 5 points behind the Islanders for second in the Metropolitan. They're only 3 points behind the Penguins with the same amount of games played. So if the Penguins take a bit of a stumble, the Caps could hypothetically get into one of those top 3 spots in the Metropolitan, in which case they'll be much more secure. But really, at this point, you don't really care about how everybody else is playing. If you just keep winning, you're keeping your spots. Right now, the Caps have to go out and play every game like it's the playoffs. And if they go out and they do that, they'll get into the playoffs just fine. And that's the big thing with the NHL. It's just get into the playoffs. Because once you do, anybody can win it. We've seen it in the past. LA Kings have come in as the 8th seed. Or was it somebody else that came in as the 8th seed? I think it was the Kings. And then they won the Stanley Cup because they had a hot... Jonathan Quick got hot. And they won. And it's a situation like that where you just need a goalie to get hot and players to be playing well at the right time. You can go on and you can win the Stanley Cup. So right now, Orlov... Alsner was completely wrong in the sense that this is not a must-win – or that was not a must-win game. All their games from now on are must-win games, and every point they give up, especially if these are against teams that are in the Metropolitan or teams like Boston or Florida or the Flyers, not really. Really, I mean, the Flyers are not mathematically eliminated, but they're kind of pretty much eliminated. I mean, they're what? 11 points behind Ottawa for the last spot. That's a hell of a hill to climb. So right now, every game you have against Boston or Florida – or every game they win, you need to win as well, just because you need those points.
And if you look at the Capitals' schedule coming up, I mean, they do have two games up against the Rangers. They have a game up against the Bruins, up against the Senators, up against the Canadiens. I mean, these are not going to be easy teams to beat. The Rangers, you know, they are who they are. They're the Rangers.
Why do they get so far ahead of everybody else in the Metropolitan? I didn't even realize that. I mean, the Islanders are flying ahead, and I just look at the standings a minute ago, and the Rangers are flown past everybody with two less games played than the Islanders and one less game played than the Penguins and the Capitals. So it's – what the hell happened? You know what it is? It's Talbot, that goalie, freaking playing out of his mind.
Yeah, and let me – he's got one of the coolest masks ever. You see it? It's the State Puff Marshmallow Man. It's really cool looking.
No, I haven't seen that, but that is pretty clever.
Yeah, you got to check that out. But, like, up against the Rangers twice, I mean, those are going to be hard games. The last game of the season is up against the Rangers. The Bruins...
Well, that might not be as bad as it sounds, because the Rangers, at that point, likely will have already coasted to a playoff spot. So they may not be playing quite as hard, because they won't be getting injured before the playoffs. That could be...
Okay.
Could be a easier game to win. But you know what? I'd rather have them lock up spot well before that. Yeah. I haven't looked at the schedule and the standings and everything enough to know necessarily what that quote-unquote magic number is, but... Just keep winning. That's all that matters.
Definitely what matters. Now, Barry Trotz was talking about the recent games and about the schedule and how the Capitals have had, you know, some pretty nice extended stays home in the last couple weeks. I mean, what they played, when was the last time they played? On Saturday? And they don't have a game. Yeah, Saturday up in the Peg. And then they don't have a game until this coming Thursday.
Where they got shut out.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even want to talk about it.
So, well, you have to. It's a podcast, but you know, that's a pretty good stretch of time this late in the season to not have a game to prepare for. I mean, from Sunday to Wednesday, you know, you get to be in your own bed, you get to be in your own house, you get to practice on your own rink. I mean, no travel there, except
that you have an opportunity to rest.
Exactly,
and I mean, rest the muscles, and not just, you know, you get to like sleep in and stuff, but you get to rest your entire body so that. When it comes, you know, it's late in the season. Everybody's got an injury here or there, whether it's a big thing or a little thing. Muscles are sore. People are bruised. To have 4 days to just – I mean, they're practicing. I think they had an hour and a half practice yesterday. I think Brooks Lyke was saying on the Junkies this morning on 106.7 The Fan that they had an hour and a half practice, I believe, on Tuesday. And so, you know, but to give them the opportunity to have that kind of a break to go – to their homes and relax, or even do whatever they, you know, were doing, whether they went on like a mini vacation or something, if they had that kind of time off to go somewhere in the area, and just sort of regroup, I think was a great thing for them to have this late in the season.
Well, you see, Barry Trotz is saying the exact different thing than what you're saying.
What's he saying?
He's saying that like that 5-game homestand where the Capitals only came away with like one or two wins, it was detrimental to them due to the fact that they kind of relaxed and kind of sat back and was like, ah, you know, we're home.
That's different because they were playing at the time, as opposed to now they're just like resting their bodies. I mean, it's right because like, you know, neither one of us are professional hockey players, but I. You know, I play some sports on the weekends.
I have a desk job.
I do now, sort of, not in the summer. No, but I have I play soccer on Sunday nights, and you know, it's nowhere near as difficult as playing a professional sport, no matter what that may be. And but you know, I'm not in the same shape they are. But I, you know, after the game, you're a little sore, you're pretty tired. The next day, you're. Especially with me with my ankle and the fact that I jacked it up really badly back in September. You know, I'm definitely pretty sore in my ankle and my back. And so for the guys that are playing this professionally and playing hockey professionally, to have 4 days to rest and recuperate and to allow the bruises and bumps to heal as best they can, I think is going to be a great thing for this team going forward. If you're playing at home and you get relaxed and you're playing at the same time, that's a little different. But I think in this situation, it's definitely a good thing for them because it gives them, health-wise, a chance to recuperate.
We'll see how this little extended time home does for them. But, you know, Barry Trotz was saying that he was kind of treating these days off like a mini training camp almost, where he was extending practice a little bit and he was keeping everybody in check, making sure everybody was kind of working hard. So I think that's really good for this team right now because they got to lose that mindset that Carl Alsner has where these aren't must-win games. They got to be working.
Now shut up!
see what he did to me? He's got me all upset, all worried here. But
how dare you?
But look, this is the nitty gritty. We are what, a week and a half away from April. Okay, we want hockey in April and May. We want it to go that far. You know, we want to see this team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And at this point, with 9 games left, they have to be the masters of their own destiny. They got to win every single game, or at least come close to every single game. They need to fight for it. You know, they I don't like it. I hated a couple seasons ago where we were watching whether or not the Panthers were going to do anything to see if the Caps were going to be like, you know, the Southeast champions or whatever it was. Because I didn't like the fact that they weren't in control of their own destiny. I really want this team to be able to decide, like, where they're going to sit, what they're going to do. And I want them to be able to decide themselves if they're even going to make it to the playoffs. And right now you're kind of playing with fire because it could come down to other teams and what they do.
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, it should be up to them. And in this case, they just need to keep winning. I mean, you have definitely a winnable game coming up against, you know, the Devils, and you got Carolina. I mean, they have some winnable games. It's not like they have the worst schedule ever going forward, but they need to go out and they need to win these games, and they need to be able to get as many points as they can. And every game where they lose 2 points is, you know, could come back to haunt them. All those, you know, those games, both of those games on the weekends against the Flyers where they gave up those 2 points, those things cost them, or they could cost them in the end.
So what else should we talk about in Caps world?
They've had some lineup. Trotz has had used his 4 days to sort of mess with the lineups. And so we have Wilson apparently in practice was back on the first line, though we'll see how long that lasts. That's the one thing kind of annoys me about Trotz sometimes. Like, I trust the dude. He's definitely a smart hockey coach and everything. But if you're going to put someone on the first line, give him an opportunity to go out there and develop some chemistry. Now, I understand Wilson's maybe, for whatever reason, he always seems to be tired at the end of games. I mean, I get it. They're always tired. But, like, before the game is over, like, okay, yes, in retrospect, that was a stupid comment. But my point is, are you always hear about, oh, well, he wasn't playing. It was not dragging. I don't know what the terminology he uses, basically. He's like, oh, Wilson wasn't able to keep up as well at the end of the game. And it's like, well, get someone who's going to and have him stay there. You can't dick around when you're this close to not making the playoffs. So they have Lykus with Fair and Johansson. So you have 3 guys who can't put the puck in the net at the moment. Glenn Cross with Kuznetsov and Brouwer. That's an interesting lineup.
I like that.
And then what probably might be the most interesting fourth line in Chimera, Lotta, and Ward. That's a pretty solid checking line right there with those three guys. So that's interesting.
Ward's kind of a weird choice to have on the fourth line.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but it's definitely a solid unit right there. The lineup's a little interesting, but if it helps to get these guys to wake up, then I have no problems with what they're doing, obviously. In other news, Orlov has been sent out to Hershey on a conditioning assignment.
There you go, guy.
You can do something like 2 games, and then if they cap for him to stay like 2 more games, then they have to do it in writing, ask the league for permission or something like that. But so he'll be down playing, hopefully. He's practicing, I believe, right now. He may have been practicing with the Caps recently, and then he should be going down soon. And then in a very nice story, the Caps visited Benston, or B-Man, as people know him on Twitter. This was a 6-year-old huge Caps fan who was seriously injured while sledding about 2 months ago when he was hit by a car.
Oof.
So, yeah, it's a very scary story. I believe he was out. I don't know if he was in a coma, but he was definitely out for quite a long time. Huge Caps fan. I believe his uncle put a thing on Twitter about hashtag pray for B-Man. And the Caps got word of it, made this very nice video for him that he ended up seeing in the hospital. And then a couple of the players went and actually visited him at his home, I believe, in McLean. So Ovechkin, Backstrom, Green, Wilson, and Lotta went and visited and hung out with him for a little while at his house while he still recovers. So I thought that was a very nice thing for the team and the players to do.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think a lot of this happened because the Russian machine never breaks. I think they kind of picked up the story. The Caps saw it on the Russian machine website and were able to make that video for the Capitals and everything. So really, you know,
I think they definitely pushed it forward. I mean, Russian machine has gone from being sort of a blog to they really are becoming sort of more of news guys when they're in the fact that they're in the press conferences, they're in the locker room after the games, they're really interviewing players, and it really is a great place to get a lot of Caps information. With the loss of Adam Vingan, it's a very good place.
Yeah.
So he hasn't died, but he just moved to Tennessee to cover the Predators.
Miss that guy. He was good.
Yeah, he was very good. And, you know, one day he'll hopefully come back. to the D.C. area and maybe bring Philip Forsberg with him. But someone made that joke on Twitter today. But you just went to Nashville. You can kidnap Forsberg and bring him back to D.C., right? God, thanks, McPhee, idiot. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a great story to hear about that the kids are doing better. And credit, any credit that maybe do go should go to Rush Machine and Reverse.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to see that, you know, when guys like us and people that have other people either reading their stuff or listening to their podcast or whatever, when you can do good stuff like that and you know, help the Capitals realize a fan like that was in the kind of situation B-Man was in, was able to, you know, help that kid out and kind of make it, put a smile on his face. That's you know, that's a good stuff. That's the stuff you got to put out there in the world. So awesome for the Capitals to have some of their players. I know Mike Green was really touched by B-Man and has become, I don't know if he's close with the family, but I know that he's taken a very big interest in the story of B-Man and helping that kid out. So good stuff by the Capitals there. Real quick, I don't know if you saw this online or heard it, but I was listening to the Caps game, I guess it was last Thursday, and Ben Raby was interviewing Nate Schmidt. And after the interview was done, Ben Raby comes back and goes, "There he is, Mr. Chuckles McLaugh." And I couldn't stop laughing in the car after I heard him call Nate Schmidt Chuckles McLaugh. And him and I kind of exchanged on Twitter talking about that. But great name for Schmitty there.
That's a good one, Chuckles McLaugh. I like
Chuckles
that.
McLaugh.
That's a very Mystery Science Theater 3000 riff tracks kind of a joke. I don't know if you ever watched that back when you were a kid.
I did, back in the day. Tracks.
Yeah, that's a good show, man. But yeah, it's a very, very silly thing to say.
So anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Start scoring more goals, everybody else not named Ovechkin.
Please. If you're not Russian, score a goal.
Well, even if you are Russian, yeah. Kuznetsov.
Just anyone whose name doesn't start with an O.
I think he's played very well. He got incredibly comfortable, which I think has been a little bit of the problem lately with hitting the puck strip from him all the time. But I expected more out of him goal scoring wise, and I have not seen it.
Guess that KHL isn't all it's cracked up to be. I don't know.
They don't have the money anymore.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break and be back with Down on the Farm. But before we do, here is a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. 101 Dalmatians. Tell us what's going on down on the farm.
What's wrong with you?
101. Come on.
I got the reference.
It's the episode.
You got problems. All right. Anyways, in the past 2 weeks, Hershey went 4-1 with wins over Binghamton, Worcester, and back-to-back overtime wins over Portland. They don't have a spell. Overtime wins over Portland. The Bears are currently 40-18-7, good for 87 nice. Points. Putting them first in the East Division and second in the Eastern Conference. Now, the Bears play next on Friday and Saturday at the Giants Center against Manchester, and then they go to Bridgeport on Sunday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 5-0 with wins over Gwinnett, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati, pushing their winning streak to an ECHL record 21 games.
Wow.
I believe they have not lost a game since January. Which is I can't even remember January. That's how long it's been. That's
21 wins in a row. That's the same.
21 freaking wins in a row. That was knock on wood because they're playing tonight. The Stingrays are currently 39-18-7, good for 85 points, which puts them third in the East Division. It's ridiculous. I mean, they were what, seventh, and they won this like ridiculous winning streak, and now they're third and have not. But I believe shortly we'll be clinching a playoff spot in the ECHL.
I have to assume soon.
They haven't yet, but I think they will be very soon. Now, as I said, the Stingrays are playing tonight in Cincinnati. Then they play Friday in Toledo, Saturday in Indianapolis, and then Sunday in Evansville.
It looks like at this moment right now they are tied 1-1 at the end of the first. So,
oh no.
Hopefully, you know, the Undertaker.
If they lose, it's Brandon's fault.
The Undertaker went 21-0. at WrestleMania up until last year when he went up against Brock Lesnar and became 21-1. Let's hope the Stingrays, who are up against the Cyclones, hopefully the Cyclones aren't Brock Lesnar. But back to down on the farm.
Okay, there's hockey, not scripted. Let's just focus on that. But going back up to Hershey, Caps prospect defenseman Christian Juice and goalie Vitek Vanacek, I don't know if I said any of those correctly, they both joined the Bears on Tuesday. Now, I believe I just saw on Twitter that Vanacek will be staying with the Bears until April 2nd, whereas Juice will be staying with them until the end of the season. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, very cool. Now, after we hear all the minor league news we can, it's time. We're getting ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here we go. Let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. Around the NHL, stuff is going on. People are going for points, but are they still going for everybody else's heads and getting suspended? We'll find out right now from Coach Dan. What's going on around the NHL?
You still have no faith in the players in the league. Surprisingly, in the past weeks, there hasn't really been that much news. We'll start off in Vancouver, where they have signed defenseman Christopher Tanev to a new 5-year, $22.25 million deal. It comes with a cap hit of $4.45 million. Pittsburgh announced that forward Pascal Dupuy will not play again this season after being diagnosed with a blood clot in his lung back in November. So hopefully he gets well soon and is able to get back on the ice next season, even if he unfortunately plays for the Penguins. Toronto's Nazem Kadri, dude just cannot stay out of trouble. He's been suspended for 4 games for an illegal check to the head of Edmonton forward Matt Frazier.
What I tell you, somebody going after somebody on the head. Uh-huh, I knew it.
You called it, and of course it's Nazem Kadri. That dude just cannot stay out of trouble. Montreal defenseman P.K. Subban was fined $3,000 for diving / embellishment, which, you know what, I'm okay with it being fined because he's on my fantasy team. As long as he's not being suspended, I'm okay with that. And finally, the City of Vancouver named a street adjacent to Rogers Arena after former president / general manager / head coach Pat Quinn naming the street Pat Quinn Way. Quinn is credited with having saved the Canucks franchise when he took over in 1987. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
So what did PK Subban do that warranted a fine? Why wasn't it just like a penalty? Like blatant?
They've been doing this thing where if you get called for diving twice, you get a fine, I guess.
Yeah, because
I think it's all just fine. So remember, Neuwirth got fined. We talked about that, I think, two weeks ago. And then we've couple other times we've talked about how players have gotten fined for being a bunch of cheaters.
I'm just interested because, you know, like Tom Wilson, Willie Baby, he got an embellishment penalty in the last 2 weeks. So I was wondering if he got fined as well, but I guess not.
I don't know if they go back and, like, look at him again to be like, okay, that was a dive or that wasn't a dive.
Yeah.
But I think if he gets another one, he may be getting a phone call about giving some money back.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right, so coming up for the Caps, schedule until we talk again. This Thursday, March...
Did you just say schedule?
That's right, I did. It's the schedule.
No, it's not.
On Thursday, March 26th, the Capitals are at home in the phone booth up against the Devils. That game is at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet. On Saturday, March 28th, the Capitals stay at home long-term, man. They've been home for almost a week now. Welcoming Barry Trotz's old team, the Nashville Predators. Adam Vingan, welcome home, buddy. That game,
he's not gone long.
That game is at 12:30. Wow, that's an early one. Comcast Sportsnet.
So that's a loss.
Sunday, March 29th, the Capitals travel up to New York. You know, up in the Garden, Madison Square Garden. That game is at 3 o'clock. Comcast Sportsnet and the NHL Network. And then on Tuesday, March 31st, the Capitals back at home welcoming the Carolina Hurricanes. That game is at 7 o'clock. Comcast Sportsnet. So, like we were talking about, it's a full week. You know, I got to say, Predators, Rangers, both those games, I have to assume are going to be real tough ones. Nothing against the Devils or the Hurricanes, but those are the two that I kind of got earmarked for ones to definitely watch.
Well, the Devils and the Hurricanes should definitely be wins, no question about it. They need to come out and play. The thing is, they can't play down to their opponents. No matter who it is, they have to play the best hockey they can. Predators, that's a tough one. We see how they do in day games. That's going to be tough, especially with that's going to be an interesting situation for the fans in the building, seeing Forsberg and how well he's been playing this season. That's going to be awkward. Yeah. And then the Rangers game, I just after the not so much embarrassing performance, but the lack of a performance to some extent against the Rangers last time, they it's a tough one. I mean, they have some tough games going forward. So the ones that they can get wins out of, they definitely need to, and then they need to get something out of these other ones and be able to take points away from their team. When you play the Western Conference, you're not really taking points away from anybody, but the game against the Rangers, taking points away from them will definitely, definitely help.
All right, very cool. Now, before we leave, I want to start a new segment on the show. Coach Dan doesn't even know I'm going to do this, as all
well. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on right now. Legitimately don't know.
No music, no nothing. I'm going to call it a puck to the head. Walking Dead season finale. I know what we're doing. Okay. Walking Dead season finale.
Yeah, we're starting a new segment that's just this week. Oh, and next, because it'll be after the finale.
Yeah, we planned this. We planned this
good
so well.
Plan.
So Walking Dead season finale is this Sunday. Hopefully you're all caught up. I am. I've read past this in the comics, so I think I have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. But what's your ideas on the finale? Do you expect to see Morgan again?
I've read past it too.
Have you?
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because we have seen them go off book so many times.
Yeah, the whole wolves thing in Terminus, it was not in the comics at all. So
Tyrese's death was not. Andrea's death was not.
It was all different.
What the hell is her name? Sophia's death was not. As far as never mind. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, because if people are reading the comics, I don't want to spoil it. But, you know, none of these deaths were at all. Otis's death was not. I mean, he didn't live much longer than that in the comics, but that's besides the point. Daryl is not even in the comics.
Yeah, he's not.
So it's definitely, I mean, it's a 90-minute finale. No one knows what's going to happen, because, I mean, Rick's probably going to make it. But, yeah, he's one of the main characters. So I don't imagine they're going to kill him off, since basically the two main characters of the comic are him and Carl. But it's pretty crazy in terms of the way things are going to go. And I definitely think that they're going to do a left turn. I don't think they're going to introduce, don't say his name, but you know who. I don't think they're going to introduce him yet.
I predict that he comes in the finale of next season. I don't even see him.
He's going to go that far?
I do.
I think they're going to cast him before. Unless they're going with a no-name, and that's why we don't know it yet. But if they, like, we knew. Okay, so we knew when Tyrese was coming because we heard about the casting. We knew when Abraham was coming because we heard about the casting. So I have to imagine that we would hear about the casting of this character.
I don't know. This is the guy you're talking about is such a big character. I don't think they're going to tell anybody anything.
He says so many F-bombs.
I know.
Just like, how are you going to have him on AMC?
I have not read any of the issues where he's actually in it. The second compendium ends with, I won't say it, but like they bring up his name. And
wow. Okay, so I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, so they bring up his name, and Rick's kind of like, oh, you know, we'll take care of it. And that's where the second compendium ends.
So let me put it this way. He's worse than the governor.
That's what I hear. I hear he's a bad dude.
Very bad man.
But I think the showrunner right now is sticking to the comics so well. I have a feeling like what happens after Rick kind of goes crazy on the hot blonde's husband.
Here's another thing. You're saying he's getting close to the comics, but in the comics, the leader of Alexandria is a dude.
Yeah, I mean, you could change that kind of stuff around.
No, but
I mean,
like, my point is like, they're kind of like weaving back and forth and like hitting key points in the comics, but they're going so like randomly other times that like the whole thing with, I don't think, was Noah in the comics? I don't think so.
No.
So Noah wasn't in the comics, but Beth wasn't in the comics.
No.
I mean, Beth was a combination of two characters. Herschel had more kids in the comics.
Yeah.
And so she was a combination. The whole hospital thing didn't exist so that was interesting. But, it's been an interesting situation where they're going forward. I wouldn't be surprised if that certain character is introduced next season and we hear about some casting. Although they said on Talking Dead last week they're going back to start shooting in the next week or two.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's early April.
I don't think we're going to see that specific character until the finale of next year. I think, like I was telling you, where at the second compendium ends and Rick.
There's not much left in terms of the. Before his introduction.
I mean, there's a good chunk that they could draw out for at least, you know, 10 episodes. After the event that I believe is going to happen on the finale, you know, I do like the fact that they're talking about this group with or they're not even saying what it is, but there's W's carved in Walker's heads. A couple episodes ago when they went to Noah's house, if you looked on the wall, it says wolves are close.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So I got to assume this is the wolves. It's a gang, and they're going to try to take Alexandria, and then Rick is going to, you know, be crazy Rick and not allow it to happen. So I have a feeling the finale is going to end with Rick kind of showing – I'm the big dog here. You're not getting into my house, and kind of taking over Alexandria.
Well, according to Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl, he says the finale. He says if you're going to be watching, you need to bring some handkerchiefs.
Ooh, and there is a special guest on Talking Dead this week, so I wonder who's.
Yeah, they said the other thing is that it's easier to get the guests from the show, like the actors, like the last few episodes, because they're not shooting in Atlanta because Talking Dead shot out in L.A. So it's like they always have more of the actors during that time because they're not in Atlanta shooting right then. So like, oh, it's a special guest. It's like, yeah, it is. But it's also kind of because of that. My guess is that they're going to get Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick.
Oh, maybe.
Have they had him on the show? I think maybe they did the last one last year.
Yeah, I think he did the finale last year. Yeah, he did because he shaved and he was like, I got to start growing this back soon.
So that's my guess, is that they'll have him, they would have something like that where it's like, we actually can have you out here now because you're not in the middle of recording in Atlanta, or outside Atlanta, I guess, technically.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm counting down until Sunday, and I found a bar up in Baltimore that actually shows The Walking Dead, and they have something called Dead Wings on special. So I think I'm going to spend my finale there. So. So that's my plans. Everybody enjoy The Walking Dead. Thankfully, the Capitals are playing earlier in the day, so you don't have to worry about
much
that.
Much appreciated.
Yes, thank you so much for not getting my interest weaved around like that. But here we go. Four games until we talk again. The Capitals have got to get it together. They are a strong unit. They are definitely going to be a team that, if they get into the playoffs, one that could be a contender. They got a lot of the right stuff. They're missing secondary scoring, but hopefully these next nine games will help them kind of work out the kinks, get the flow together, and get going. But right now, the big thing is points. They just need points, okay? Get those 2 points. Stick to your guns. Make sure nobody's hopping over you. Just get down to the ice rink, get to work, and do what you got to do. So if you're watching the Capitals this week, if you're going to any of the games, all you got to do is sing it loud, sing it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.